please take your seats. And it's my absolute delight to invite Helly to come and share with us now. I won't say too much about Helly. She's going to have a little interview later on where you can get to know all her hidden secrets. But what I will say is I've known Helly for a number of years now, and she is such a godly woman. She hears God. She surrenders her life to him. And she's absolutely lovely. So, Helly, over to you.
Oh, thanks, lovely friends. Hi, everybody. Such a treat with you to be with you today, because look, the sun's come out for us. It's meant to be. We're all meant to be together today, so hurrah. So, one awesome word this morning from Catherine. Yeah, we didn't give you enough appreciation. You are anointed woman of God, you are. Does everyone agree? Yeah, so there. So I've got this message that I have been kind of taking around the place, probably boring people to death with, because I've really felt for the last year, God has been saying to me, I'm mustering my army and you all need to rise up. And so I had this message prepared, and then I met up with Catherine and we were chatting through, you know, this day together. And she said, oh, I've got these phrases that I feel like, you know, we should do for this day. It's wake up, rise up, stand firm. And I was like, I definitely feel like I want to come, because I feel like it's totally in line with what I've been sensing God's Spirit say over our nation, and particularly actually for us as women of God. It's our time, girls. You know, it's our time, and it's not that it's not the men's time, it's their time too, but particularly we've been sat down sleeping, like Sleeping Beauty, for far too long, with no voice, no words, noticing things, and it's changing now. It's changing now, and so we've got to get in the game with what God's doing, and actually our physical posture and our physical position and our bodies and where we're at as the body of Christ is very significant to us as girls today. And God's really been speaking to me through my own body, my hay fever ridden, traumatized body. Anyone else suffering from the allergics to cats and pollen? I mean, come on. Cats are so cute, and pollen, I mean, it's just like, you can't even breathe. Like, these are practical issues, Lord, come on. But actually, I've been feeling him say, just pay attention to your body in this season. Pay attention to the church. It's the body of Jesus. And look for clues in people's bodies and in positions and postures and things that go wrong and things that go right, because they're going to be significant. So I've been all eyes for the last year, watching my body, journaling with God. I sound mad, don't I? Journaling with God what he's been saying about my allergies, about things that have been going wrong, things that are going well, where I'm stewarding well, where I'm not stewarding well. And actually, he's been saying, get that in order, because it's time to rise up. It's time to get ready. You know, there's an army that needs training. You need to be as healthy as you can, because I have a mission to churches. And so the other week, one of the clues about my body, I'm just sharing all my ailments with you to start with. Is that okay? Can we handle it? I have painted my toenails green for you all, though. Check them out. It's like it's summer. I'm going green on the toes. But I had this really horrible stomach thing the other week. And it's a bit oversharing. I was like, okay, I'll say it quietly in case the children are listening. Like, I kept burping and tasting like a horrible chemical feeling. And my tummy, I looked like I was pregnant. I was all swollen. I was thinking, what on earth have I eaten? And I was like, God, speak to me about my strange taste in my mouth and my swelled out tummy and my horrible feeling. And I felt like God say, you're carrying things, but sometimes you carry the wrong things. You take them into yourself, you take them onto yourself, and they leave a bad taste in your mouth. It's the things in life that you can't stomach and you don't want to put up with. And actually, he was telling me, Helly, you have got to take on a position where you're not so easily ingesting the problems in the church, but you're prepared to stand up and be a voice into them rather than take them into yourself. Does that make sense? So that was one example, and he just said to me, I need you to be alert to this, because otherwise you're going to be intolerant of people, and they're my bride, so deal with it. I was like, thanks. So that was one little telling off through my inflated stomach. Grim. But, girls, we're all carrying something, aren't we? We're all swelled up on the inside by something. There's things that we've taken in, maybe that are good, and things that we take in and on that we shouldn't take in and on. And maybe today's a day of going, okay, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to put it down and deal with it. So I started dealing with taking on false responsibilities and trying not to control things that I am not in control of. That would be a helpful lesson, wouldn't it? Bearing in mind I'm not the saviour of the world. So phew, that was one thing. And then another thing, which you'll find hilarious, and some of you have probably heard me talk about this before, is that God's been talking to me about my posture. So I had this very strange thing where my friends, I have some very honest friends. Actually, we all need very honest friends. I'm serious. We need to have people who say, you're being an idiot. Deal with that stuff in your life. So one of the things that my very honest friend said was, I don't know whether you're aware of it, but you, when you're up on the stage, you're really confident, you stand really upright, you know what you're doing. When you walk up, you hunch, as if you have no idea what you're about to say or do. And I was like, that's because I don't. But she just was saying, in the nicest possible way, you look like a turtle. Here's the turtle. She said, I know, because I know you, that God's been doing something in you that's about to come out of your mouth. They don't. They don't see your journey. They don't see what you've been carrying. They don't see how you've been banging the floor, praying for something, crying over something, sensing something in the church, not knowing what to do, having conversations. They don't see that. They see Turtle Girl making her entrance, which on the one hand is fine, but on the other hand is not okay. Because I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and I know God had given me something to say. And you are daughters and sons, boys, I'll tag you in just for today. We are daughters and sons of the Most High God. Is it not time that we stopped walking like this? Is it not time that our heads were not bowed low? Is it not time that we looked up straight and didn't look on the ground as if we had something to be ashamed of? When God has done an inside-out job on us, we're totally redeemed. We're totally redeemable, we're totally loved, we're totally lovable. So why are our heads down? It's time to wake up and remember who we are. It's time to rise up in the posture that children of the Most High God should probably adopt. And it's time to stand firm in that and not be swayed and not be knocked. Another time when God was speaking to my body, I went to pick something off the floor, which probably shouldn't have been on the floor in my room. And I put my back out for months, literally months. I was like walking around in a really strange way. And God was like, your core is not strong enough. You can't be put out by a little thing that you reached for. And girls, there are things that we need to reach for, big or small, and we cannot be put out. We cannot be crippled by them. We need to extend our reach, be flexible, be strong in the middle, standing firm, standing tall, with a strength that comes not from ourselves, but there's exercises we need to do to make ourselves strong. There are things we need to take into ourselves that will make us inside strong. And there are things that we need to not put anywhere near us. And positions that we should not adopt that are not healthy for the body of Christ. This position is not healthy for the body of Christ. Catherine talked about it this morning. This position is. Does that make sense? So, this turtle walking technique was genuinely a reflection on how I felt about the environment around me. And I found myself, and this is a really very vulnerable confession, I sometimes feel safer on a stage than I do walking around the church. Because I'm in a contained space where I'm doing what I know I'm called to do. When I'm walking around, I think, oh, I'm a bit of a liability with my mouth here because I haven't prepared. People come up to me, and Emma came up to me earlier and was like, could you pray? I was like, yes, but I haven't prepared. And it's a bit of a weird thing in my life. I like to have really spent time considering things before I do these interactions. I'm actually quite shy. I know I'm not coming across like that, but I am. But I felt like God say, we're going to work on that this season, Ellie. We're going to work on that. And you need to work on that. And actually, this whole turtle positioning, head down, not remembering who I was, jutting my head forward, shoulders hunched over, actually began to become quite costly in lots of ways. It's costly in terms of how people see you, and you want people to take you seriously if you're bringing a message. It's costly in terms of time, because you then have to exercise your way out to stop your shoulders rolling down. It's costly in terms of money, because I needed physio. They're expensive. So it's costly to the church for the daughters of God to hunch. It's costly to what you carry for you not to carry it in a dignified way. And so we are not turtles. We are this, if we could have the next slide. We are chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. We're a treasure. And as a result, we can show others the goodness of God, because he called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Good words, aren't they? Strong words, aren't they? Words to take in to us, that cause a reaction in the guts of us, that cause a swelling to come inside us that's healthy, that cause life inside of us, that cause our posture to change. Royal priest. I can't see a royal priest. Like, I'm a royal priest. Holy nation. I'm a really holy nation. No, that's lame. And so God got me thinking about these times in our lives when Jesus needs to come and Jesus needs to speak and Jesus needs to readjust the posture of his daughters and help us to walk a bit differently. So I'm going to talk to us, is it this morning? This afternoon. Someone's stealing the day, quick. I'm going to talk to us this afternoon really quickly so that we get loads of time together. About this passage where Jesus comes to one of his daughters and he speaks his words to her and it changes everything. And this girl was, well, we don't actually know her name, but she was called Jairus' daughter. Does anyone here feel a bit nameless? A bit like, I'm just here because I know so-and-so. Don't really know what I'm doing. Feel a bit like lost in a crowd. This was this girl. We don't even get to know her, really. She only turns up in the Bible this one time. And she's referred to as Jairus' daughter. Sorry, lady. But that's okay, because even that girl, Jesus had a personal encounter for her, and it changed everything. And even if someone doesn't know your name today, Jesus has a personal encounter for you that he wants to speak to you about that could change everything. And so let's hear how he did it, and then let's find ourselves in this story that's a true story. It's in history of how Jesus engaged with her. It's in Mark 5 and verse 38. We pick it up and we hear that Jesus saw a commotion. Does anyone feel like there's a bit of a commotion going on at the moment in the world? There is, isn't there? People weeping and wailing loudly. What a lot of noise. What on earth could the daughters of the Most High have to say? Perhaps in a commotion we want to scuttle down like a turtle under our shells because it's protected under there. Our heads aren't out and on the line. Our necks can reel in. But I don't think that's what Jesus would say. And he enters that place. Because Jesus is not afraid of a bit of commotion. He's not put off by a bit of weeping and wailing. So we're okay, girls. We've got tissues ready. He comes in. And he says, why are you making a commotion and weeping? Like, why are you? What is wrong with you? But actually, it was pretty serious what was going on, because Jairus' daughter was dead. But still he says, what's all this noise? I mean, you'd have thought he'd have adopted the slight head-to-the-side pastoral approach, wouldn't you? But he starts to call it something different to how everyone there who's clamouring with all this noise refers to it. And he says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. See, Jesus gets to have the final say on something, not anyone or anything else. And whatever you're going through in your life, don't you dare decide that it's what other people are describing it as. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Jesus wants to come into that place. Come into the crying. Come into the clamoring. Come into the commotion. And speak and define it himself with his words. Not dead, sleeping. I wonder if there's something in your life that you think that's so done. Maybe it's having a rest. But look what they do. They laughed. I mean, I probably laugh. Sometimes I laugh because I'm nervous. I think they were probably, what? You're insane. They laughed at him. But look what he did. He put them outside. Okay, ha ha ha, very funny, out. This reminds me of my mum addressing us as children. Ha ha, very funny, out. Out of the house with your muddy feet. And he put them outside, but he takes the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He walked in to a house full of death, basically. And taking her by the hand, he said, Talitha kumai, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And I wonder whether today he speaks to the little girl inside us who feels like crawling on the ground, who feels like hiding in her shell, who feels like not sticking her neck out, who feels like scuttling off. Maybe he says, it's time to get up now. It's time to stand up a bit taller now. It's time to remember that you were never a turtle. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You're holy, you're royal, you're chosen by me, you're bought at a very costly price. You're very expensive. You're very valuable. And look at this. Immediately. Everyone say immediately. Because the words of Jesus Christ have an immediate effect. They do. I don't care how much crying and wailing's going on around you. They have an effect. They land. They do something. And immediately the girl got up. There we go. And she began walking. She was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he told them to give her something to eat. What I like about this is that Jesus had a job and his mates had a job. Jesus' job was to speak the word. Everyone else's job was to feed it and nourish it and make sure the life that he'd spoken out was sustained. So he says, feed her. Good news, girls. Eat. Nourish what God has done. Nourish what God has said. Nourish that if God said, get up, get up. Get other people around you to say, get up. Jesus said, get up, stay up, feed yourself. There's life inside you. Don't starve it. Feed it with his words. And Catherine earlier was talking about lion, the Lion of Judah, and how we are to be like these majestic lions as well. I love that. And Winston Churchill, funny man, he said these words, I was not the lion, but it fell to me to give the lion's roar. Now, we are not the ones who save and cause death to become life, but we certainly get to have a say We certainly get to give the lion's roar on situations. We've certainly been far too quiet for far too long. We've certainly been scuttling around on the ground for far too long. But you know what? We've been watching. We know where the feet are from down there. We're ready to go, girls. We've been galvanizing and watching and filling ourselves with truth. And now it's time. Now it's time. And this kind of rising theme goes throughout the scriptures. Luke, Jesus is recorded as saying, "What's the kingdom of God like? What will I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed. A man just took it, he planted it in the garden, it grew, and it became such a tall tree that the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again, he said, "What will I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took, mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. What happens then? It rises. Under hot conditions. And if anyone is going to rise up under heat, it's going to be the daughters of God." There we go. So let's remind us of some other words from Scripture. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who? No one. It's not just a song we sing and dance around to. It's truth. It's a truth we roar, truth we declare, truth that comes in, changes our shape, and we walk differently. I love James 1:21. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. Stop stuffing yourself full of junk food in a famine. Don't eat donkey's heads. What are you? Don't eat bird poo. Who are you? Who do you think you are? If you're the king's daughters, eat the king's words. Feast on the king's food. God has planted this word in us. Humbly accept it. Listen to this. It has the power to save your souls. That word that God speaks comes into us. We say yes, has the power to save us. That's how this whole thing is set up. We have to agree. Jesus says it, and we go, okay, I will. Jesus said, get up, little girl. She was like, in her spirit, she was dead. But something in the core of her went, yeah, I'll get up. Up I go. And then others come and feed her. And then this one, with reference to the turtles. Keep looking up. That's the secret of life. This is not in the Bible. This is from the mighty theologian Snoopy. So just don't go on to the next slide yet. I just wanted to tell you about a time that I saw the words of Jesus have a dramatic effect, an immediate effect. And again, some of you will have probably heard me tell you this story because I tell everyone because it was so encouraging. I help out at my church back in Cheltenham with some work called King's Table, which is basically putting on a banquet for the broken. We're all broken, aren't we? We all need feeding. But these are people who are self-harming, struggling with life issues, as we all are, and that we're all together as a family. And what started to happen is people from different organisations have been bringing people to us because there's been some transformation happen, which we know is nothing to do with us, it's all to do with Jesus. And so if they're coming looking at us, that's good, but we have somewhere to point. And this person came in one day and for some reason, I get the tricky people, just because I have changed my posture, and now I don't look like a turtle. I look like, I know what I'm doing, and the truth is, I have no idea what I'm doing. Even now, I don't even know what I'm saying. And so this guy came in, who was a guy, but was dressed up like a girl in the world's worst clothes. Just going to put it out there. Terrible dress sense. And he was very gender confused and with bad taste in fashion, which I'll help him with at another point if I need to. And he wouldn't talk. He looked like a turtle, acted like a turtle, walked in like a turtle, head down, no eye contact, hunched shoulders. I was like, I've seen that before in me. I've seen that I have no idea who I am, demonstrated by posture. That's what he needs to know. So I was like, so when someone was like, oh, Helly, can you go and talk to that guy? I think it's a guy, could be a girl, person. So I was like, okay, fine. Thinking, God, you have something to say. Because there's a confidence that's come into me now that reassures my spirit that Jesus will always have something to say, even if I don't. So I trotted myself over to him, and he had his key worker with him. And they said, you won't get anything from him. I was like, we'll see about that. I didn't say it out loud. Or did I rub my hands, because that would have been really off-putting for someone in a confused state. I was like, would you like a cup of tea? No, nothing. I was like, what's your name? And the person that was with him was like, I was like, so no name? And they tried to explain, well, because he's been a man, wants to be a woman, he has no name. He doesn't like his old name, doesn't have a new name. And I was like, who doesn't have a name? Anyway, so I was like, God, you know him. You are not happy with this situation where he doesn't know who he is, doesn't have a name, walks around with his head down. And he had tried to kill himself 3 times that week. We were on Friday. I was like, man, we've got the weekend. I know there's not a lot of stuff in Cheltenham to support him this weekend. He's not going. He needs a home. He needs an eternal home if he's going anywhere. And so I was like, God, please, please, please give me something to say. And I tried all the normal chit-chat, like, have you been here before? Do you like this food? It's nice, isn't it? Nothing. Not a single reply. And then I was like, could you tell me about you? People like talking about them, don't they? So I was like, maybe we'll try that. And he just said, I'm a no one. I was like, well, that's not true. And then I thought, gentle Helly, don't be sword pointing Helly. Be soft, nice Helly. Talk to yourself, nice smiley face. Look in the eyes, all the good training you've had. And he just went on to say things like, when I was a little boy, I was pushed through lots of foster families. Nobody wanted to keep me. So I changed my schools lots. No one wanted to be my friend. So I didn't make any friends because I was scared. And I thought, after every situation in his life, I could almost imagine this happening to him. Do you know what I mean? To the point where he's crawling on the ground and underneath this shell of destruction, really, and lifelessness. Anyway, he'd been rejected by his friends, rejected by his family, and then he said, and I don't like me anyway. And I said, so you're rejecting you, aren't you? And he said, yeah. That's what that was. Anyway, as you know, I'd been praying the Lord have mercy on my soul prayer. I need something to say that you have to say. You speak, God. Give me the lion's roar. I am not having this. I'm not having this happen in front of my eyes. This is not okay. Jesus, what do you say about him? And immediately, Jesus said, tell him I think he's highly esteemed. Now, that's not a common phrase I use in my everyday life. And so I was like, hi, can I just look in your eyes and tell you something that I think God says about you? He went, okay. I was like, he's going in a shell. Quick, say it fast. I said, God says you're highly esteemed. And then I've been reading in the Bible how sometimes God says things more than once, so I did it 3 times. You're highly esteemed, you're highly esteemed, you are highly esteemed. And he went like that. His head came out of his shell. And then I thought, I wonder if it's in the Bible. So I did what all good Christian Bible teachers do, and I Googled it. On my phone, and it said this. Daniel, you are highly esteemed, "Stand up, I've been sent to you. Do not be afraid." Girls, what do you think his name was? Yeah. Correct. You are good. We should go to school. But God is good all the time. And he has words that change things immediately. And I've seen a lot of deliverance ministry, and it doesn't look like it does on the films. It looks like a man who's been crawling on the ground with cuts all over his arms, who won't lift his head, responding to this and going, "No one's ever said anything like that to me." And a tear rolled down his face. And he stood up. And I was still sitting down. And he said, "My name when I was a little boy was Daniel." And I said, "And when you were rejected, God knew you were highly esteemed. And when you felt like no one wanted to be your friend, God knew you were highly esteemed. And today, you are highly esteemed." And it did change everything. I've never seen him since, but I know if it had ended badly, I would have done. Or the person would have come in and told us. And I think that's part of God saying, you don't always need to know the end of the story, you nosy Parker. You just let out your roar. That's your bit. Don't take on false responsibility. Watchman on the wall, pass it on and leave it. And girls, we've been watching. We've noticed things. We've got things growing in us, dreams growing in us, things that God started to stir in us. And it's time to give them a voice. It's time to listen to his spirit and say, "Jesus, what do you say into that situation? I've noticed that for a long time. It's not okay." He gives you something to say. And it always matches with his already word. And you know, it's like we've been pricked by a spindle and fallen asleep. And Jesus needs to come and kiss it better and touch us and say, "Okay, little girl, get yourself up. I know that hurt. I know that wasn't right. I know you were a victim of that. But I'm not having all my daughters bound. I'm not having my church asleep. Hallelujah. I need you all up on your feet, releasing your roar, acting like a pride of lions." And Mary, little Mary, who carried Jesus in her, changed her whole shape, changed her whole life. She said, "May it be to me according to your word, God." She could have said no, but God put it in her. And I'm telling you, girls, you're a room full of pregnant ladies because God's put stuff in you and you've got to let it out. You've got to say, "May it be to me according to God's word, not their sound, not my tears, not that wailing. God's voice, your yes to it." And let me remind you that you are not turtles. You are daughters of the Most High God. You are chosen people. You are royal priests. You are made holy and a nation. You're not just your own. You don't belong to yourself. You are God's very own possession. And as a result, everyone sees what you carry, whether you like it or not. People are listening to what you're saying, whether you've noticed that they are or not. People will have an immediate response, whether it's good or not. But that's not your part. Your part is yes. Your part is, "I hear you, God. I'm getting up on my feet." Because when you do, you can show others the goodness of God. Because he called you out from lying down in darkness, asleep or dead, into his wonderful light. And so there's a song that carried me through my processing. And it's a song called Stand Up. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And what I'd like us to do is, when you feel you'd like to, you don't have to stand up at the start, but I would like us, as a reaction to what God is, I think, singing over us through this song, and the declarations that are coming out over this song. It says, with history behind us, destiny before us, every heart's bowed down. That's the only thing that's bowed down in us. We're bowed down to God, but we're standing up in the world. Different postures. And then from the battlefield to the blessing field. These are the words. And then it says, stand up, everybody stand up. Come on, lift your eyes up. See the King. Our God, such a mighty warrior. He is with us, he is for us. And so let's not tussle around anymore. Let's get back on our feet and find our voices in a dignified way. We don't chop everyone's heads off with these swords. We use them as a weapon against the enemy and a weapon against things going on in the world that are actually very evil. And he says, you girls have something to say. You have something you're carrying that's ready to go. Come on then, get up. So let's just ask God's Spirit to speak to us. And Chris, I'm wondering if you guys afterwards could sing that song we sang first, just now. I can't remember how it went. Do you know the one I mean? After this, what was it called? Awesome Is He, yes. And actually, so this is how it will go. We'll listen to the song. During the song, at any point, if you feel like, oh, I can feel this rising, God's saying something, I need to immediately react, please do. Like, I'll stand up at some point. And then the band will play this song, which we can sing to each other, almost, I think. Like, we're telling each other, look, this is who our God is. And then we'll pray for each other, because we're a pride of lions, and we're fierce when we're together. And, you know, if we see something coming near one of our sisters, we need to get it away. Or we need to stand with each other and just stick a hand on a shoulder and say, I'm with you in this. This is how I'm going to ask God to feed what he's put in you. Feed the words. And so we'll just do that. So let's just pray. God, I thank you so much that when you speak a word, it has immediate effect. It never, ever returns empty. It always accomplishes the purpose by which that word was sent. And today you've sent a word into us. You've put a message into us. And Lord, we give you our yes. And we want to be alert and awake to it. And as we hear this song, God, do something in us that rises us up from the inside out. And put strength in us again, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work amongst us.